Now joining us, Ian McIntyre, our Sportsnet triple threat, Sportsnet.ca, Sportsnet Radio, Sportsnet Television joins us. iMac, what's going on?
Well, I did take a break from my JT Miller, Tyler Myers story to see Canada lose at the Women's World Cup, which was disappointing.
How upset are you that Sinclair didn't take the penalty? Because my ears are red. I'm fuming right now.
Yeah, I never saw the penalty, but these things are predetermined. So I'm not upset. I wish that obviously it had gone in, but these things aren't decided on the field. So
yeah, it's more on that decision to have Janine Becky be the number one penalty taker.
It's too bad because they have I think more talent than they did 4 years ago.
But absolutely,
I'm amazed at just how relatively rapidly, but how dramatically, the women's game has improved on the world level from what it was a couple of World Cups ago. I mean, the technical quality is really good now, and the speed is higher and the skill is higher. It's great to see for the world game, and I think as that occurs, it's not surprising that there's more parity, you know, because the teams that once could be superior teams, not only by money, but partly by just putting resources into it when other countries weren't, no longer are getting sort of a free pass to the final eight or so. So it's too bad for Canada. It's been a good World Cup, though. And I have to say, since we're on soccer, I was really impressed by the Canadians men's team as well. I know it was only Cuba, but it was a game where they had to take care of business, and they throttled the Cubans, and I thought they actually looked really dangerous. I thought they gave Mexico some problems. So disappointing for the women's team, kind of exciting to see that the men's team seems to finally be on the rise.
Yeah, never been as much talent on that men's team than there is right now, and it's a young talent. They're going to grow together and maybe make a play for the 2022 World Cup. Ian McIntyre, our guest. All right, let's hear it. Your full assessment of the JT Miller trade and what it tells about where the Canucks are headed.
Yeah, well, I like Miller. I don't like that they gave up a first-round pick for him, but I don't think it's an outrageous price. And I think Miller's going to help them. For a variety of reasons, which I'm sure you guys have already been kicking around. I think he's going to be a good pickup. I think once he starts to play and score goals, which he will, I think the trade will be a little more popular, but it is, you know, anytime you do give up in this day and age, you give up a first round pick, even a conditional one that gives you at least 1 year of lottery protection, that's a big price to pay. But we know how hard it is to get quality players, and although there's, you know, that there are teams that are cap-strapped, and there's this idea that there's going to be a massive giveaway of good players by teams that are at or over the salary cap. I'm not convinced that's going to be the case. If you want to take on an awful contract, yeah, you can get a bargain, but to get a good player off a team, even one that's cash-strapped, I think for now you're still going to have to pay a fairly steep price, and certainly the Canucks did that. But I like Miller. I think he's going to make them better.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think he's a legit top six forward in the NHL. And the Vancouver Canucks, outside of the core four, the core three players they've had, they haven't had many of those guys. So he's this instant upgrade. But I think central to this question is it the right time to kind of go all in? Because with this move, it signals that the Vancouver Canucks over the next 2 years expect to go all in. Are you okay with this timing?
Yeah, I'm not sure that it means that they're all in. I know that they're trying to push for the playoffs next year, but we knew that, right? That shouldn't surprise anybody that they would make a couple of deals to try and get better and get in the playoffs. That's kind of been the goal all along. I don't want to see them giving away very many first-round draft picks. I don't want to see them certainly trading away young players. And that's, to me, a sign when you're all in is when you start acquiring older players who can give you 1 or 2 years, and you're giving up young assets in return. Now, Kevin Miller, showing my age, JT Miller is only 26 years old, and he's on a reasonable contract, so he's going to help them for a while. You know, I'm more concerned, as a lot of people are, about what they might do to try and get Tyler Myers, who's 29 years old. I'd be even concerned, as much as I like Tyson Barrie as a player, if you gave up a lot of assets for him and you've only got one more year under contract, and then there's uncertainty after that. So I think Benning is doing what he said he was going to do, which is make the team better. And as I say, I think we all know, and those who didn't should have known, that the Canucks are trying to make the playoffs next year. They've missed 4 years in a row. It's their 50th season, or 50th anniversary of the NHL, and they want to get back in the Stanley Cup tournament. And as I tweeted on after the trade on Saturday, you know, if they're not back in the playoffs and it ends up, you know, they miss 2 years and that draft pick becomes a lottery pick, well, then it's going to be somebody else's problem, because Jim Benning won't be the GM anymore.
Ian McIntyre, our guest at IMAX Sportsnet on Twitter. You know, the value of a first-round pick is sometimes far less than what some make it out to be. It really comes down to where that eventual number lands, right?
Sure.
The guy who just got traded a couple of minutes ago, Ryan Hartman, not nearly as productive a player in the NHL as JT Miller has been. He was once traded for a first-round selection, the Nashville Predators getting him from the Chicago Blackhawks for that price. So if the Canucks make the playoffs for each of the next two seasons, and JT Miller is a big part of that, nobody's complaining about this price, IMAC.
Well, I think some – I'm going to say you're wrong, Dan. I'm going to
well,
say some
that's,
will
that's
complain
fair.
About the price no matter what.
Rational people won't.
But, yes, and you make a good point that way. And that's why I say I think the trade is going to be a little more appealing when people get to see JT Miller, because he's one of those, you know, pros kind of players where there's a dependability to him. He seems like a good guy. I don't know him well enough to say definitively that, yeah, he's going to go into that room and be a real leader, but he seems to be a good guy. And certainly in his ability to play up and down the lineup and provide consistent, to this point, let's call it second-tier offense, you know, he's averaged 20 goals and 50 points for the last 4 years, but he had a slightly down year last year with Tampa, 13 goals and 47 points, but he also was in a down role. You know, Tampa had more good players than the Rangers did towards the end. So Miller was playing down the lineup. He was playing 14 minutes instead of more. But if you look at his you know, career shooting percentage, this is a guy who's going to be able to score goals. And if you put him as Benning has hinted at with Pettersson and Besser, I'd be surprised if he doesn't score more goals next season than he has so far. I think his career high is 23. And he kind of alluded to that as well. He was asked on a conference call about what he would like to do, and players are never going to put a definitive number on it. But he talked about scoring in the low 20s and said he thinks he can do better than that. So he's going to make him better. He's a big piece. We all know that they needed at least one more, maybe two more wingers who can finish. Well, he's one of them, and now the focus is on the defense and whether Benning can find the at least one defenseman that he needs for this team really, I think, to be a playoff contender next year.
Ian, before we switch to defense, you know, we've seen those links to Gustav Nyquist over the last 24 hours as well. How active do you think the Vancouver Canucks will be in addressing the forward position one more time before the season starts?
I think Benning even said on Saturday, because I'm trying to think what the context was. I asked him, did he think now he had enough wingers to adequately surround Bo Horvat and Elias Pettersson, and he said he did, and but they're always looking to add more, and I think they'll continue to look, but the urgency to find, you know, whether it's Gustav Nyquist or somebody else, the urgency up front now has been dissipated a little bit by getting Miller, because Miller is a good player. He checks so many boxes for them, and now they can look, and they're not going to be a desperate team when they're looking for another winger, but they may be a desperate team when they're looking for a defenseman.
Ian McIntyre, what is that? What is that defenseman? Are we expecting a 7x7 for Tyler Myers announced next Monday?
Well, I think that would be disastrous for the Canucks potentially if that's the case. And it's not that I know some people don't like Myers at any price. I think he's a solid NHL defenseman, but as I've said before, I think he's pretty well suited to what he was doing in Winnipeg, which is second or third pairing guy, second unit power play. The minutes are, you know, 18 to 20, but I don't really see him as a 22 or 24 minute guy that you're going to rely on in your top four. And so everybody gets everybody of note gets overpaid in free agency, and somebody will overpay Tyler Myers, just like they will Jake Gardner, just like they probably will Anton Strahlman, and that very distant next tier of defensemen behind Gardner and Myers. But everybody gets overpaid. It's just if you're overpaying for 1 or 2 or 3 years, you can get through that. I don't know that you can get through 7 years at $7 million for Tyler Myers.
Yeah, he's going to be the one I think a lot of folks will be watching just because of the meeting with the Vancouver Canucks over the weekend. Beyond that, if you don't strike on Jake Gardner and he chooses to go somewhere else, or if you're not willing to meet that price for a Tyler Myers...
Yeah, I don't think Gardner, by the way, is going to be any cheaper than Myers, and I'm not sure that Gardner has any interest in really playing here.
So. Well, yeah, there seems to be a lot of buzz on the Canucks side of things, but is there buzz on the Jake Gardner side of things? We'll have to see. But outside of those two guys, any defensemen that appeal to you on that UFA list?
Not really. You know, for long term, not really. I like Ben Chiarot in Winnipeg as a third pairing guy. But and by the way, another guy who's going to get overpaid, but probably, you know, you're looking at $3 or $4 million on a shorter term deal. But again, with limitations, I don't see anyone, certainly among the free agents, I don't see anybody who they could sign who's just going to come into their top, you know, four and maybe even five and make them a significantly better team. I just think that's a position, and I've said this for a little while now, I just think that's a position where you're probably going to have to go on the trade market to find somebody. And the reason that I like the trade market right now is we saw at the draft, we see now with the Canucks courting Myers and taking him for dinner last night, they probably even paid the fools, right? we see that there's pressure points, and there's a lot of pressure right now on this team, on teams in this time period. I would rather see them make a deal where they're out from under the pressure a little bit. And if you're looking for somebody in trade, you have from now until October 1st, and really you have until the waiver. Teams have to put players through waivers before their opening games in October to get down to the right number on the roster, to get down to the right number on the salary cap. So there's a lot of time between now and then to make a deal. I just think at this time of year, especially in free agency, the players have all the leverage. They have all the power. They're calling the shots, and that's why guys like Gardner and Myers could get $8 million a year on July 1st, because they hold all the cards. I would rather see the Canucks, for defensemen, just, you know, continue to work the trade market, and you know, in the end, if they're able to find somebody and they have to give up assets, if it's a player who's the right fit, like say JT Miller is up front, then I think you can live with that. To me, there's just so much risk when you're trying to build your team on July 1st.
IMAC, appreciate the time. We will now go and join the rest of Canadian Twitter in complaining about this whole Christine Sinclair thing. Do you see the reference point of 98 Nagano and what Mark Crawford did with Wayne Gretzky?
I do. I can see the parallels, but well, yeah. I was going to say it's a little different because although you had a contingency if the 98 game goes to a shootout, it's not sort of at the forefront of the planning.
Right.
And I think in that case you're choosing five people, not one. So in this case, it'll be interesting to hear, and I'm sure maybe the post-game press conference already underway.
Sinclair asked her to take the penalty,
yeah,
apparently.
It'd be interesting to hear why they decided to go the way they did, but that wouldn't have been a spur-of-the-moment thing on the field.
Before we let you go, Ian, I think we're contractually obligated to say Ian McIntyre, Sportsnet's triple threat.
Quadruple, maybe, with soccer?
Oh, now, yeah, you're changing the game as we speak.
This is great. I love it. Thanks, IMAC.
Nice being on with you guys. Have a good day.
IMAC Sportsnet on Twitter.
Sportsnet 650.